Welcome to Changing Futures, the podcast aimed at helping Birmingham's most vulnerable people live more fulfilled lives. In this series, we will explore the importance of lived experience when working with people in the areas of homelessness, substance misuse, mental health and reoffending, acknowledging the link between trauma and later behaviour, how these issues can affect any one of us, but that some individuals are more at risk than others. We will hear from those whose lives have been greatly improved by the work of Birmingham Changing Futures Together and learn how those people have been let down in the past by the services and systems set up to help them. The series will explore the multiple and complex, often unmet, needs of individuals and focus on the benefits of lived experience in service design and delivery and collaboration. Since our last episode, the COVID-19 global pandemic has altered all our lives in countless ways. In this episode, we hear from the experts by experience who use their voice to inform the city on the support needed by those currently living with multiple and complex needs during this pandemic. We start with Jason. I wanted to know what challenges both the experts and those living with multiple and complex needs were facing in the current environment.
The most obvious answer to that would be the fact that with social distancing and the lockdown, that it's curtailed and obviously cut down on just about most of the things that we do, if not just about all of them. I know that there's things like the telephone service, and we're able to keep a very small amount of things with Zoom meetings and doing stuff online, but of course it's not quite the same. So from a viewpoint as an expert by experience, it's pretty much stopped. There isn't anything to sort of replicate, you know, human contact really. You know, just even sort of sitting with someone, you know, just especially people that are, you know, very socially isolated. And of course, you know, if there's those identification things, whether it be mental health, whether it's recovery based and all those sorts of things, with that little bit of insight that you sort of gain through, you know, perhaps of going through a very similar experience as yourself, it's paramount of importance to have someone sit there with you and empathise to a certain degree. And I think you can only really do that when you're actually sat with someone. As good as, you know, the virtual Zoom meetings and those sorts of things are, it's not the same as actually being with someone.
I guess one of the biggest challenges experts are facing in the middle of this corona pandemic is actually staying in recovery themselves, because they have lost all connection with 12-step groups, recovery groups. I know you can do them by Zoom and whatever, but it's no way is it the same as face-to-face. So experts will become isolated and will be in danger of slipping back into old habits from loneliness, because unfortunately it is an ongoing fight every day for us. So we have got our own battles to deal with, and being isolated from doing things like getting out and about and connecting with people will, I guess, lead to people open to temptation.
That was Shay. Dan is also worried about the increased potential for relapse among vulnerable people right now.
I'm okay because I'm keeping myself busy, but there's people out there who are vulnerable, same as what I was many years ago. They can't think for themselves at this moment in time. They dwell on it, which I used to do. Used to think, panic and worry instead of, like, get up and go and do something about it, you know. Adapting to being shut down in your own home, and that's been, challenging for myself and probably anybody who's got multiple complex needs and mental health issues. I put it all down to mindset. If you haven't got that confidence mindset, where I've seen many people in recovery, friends and acquaintances just constantly relapsing like mad, you know, it's on the rise. It's the boredom factor. So a lot of addicts or recovering addicts, it's the boredom factor, and it's dealing with the boredom factor. What can I do to replace that? And so I think that's the massive one, is boredom. It's dealing with, what can I do, pick up a book or listen to some music? What can I get involved with to keep myself busy?
Accessing services as well. You know, I've been very fortunate on a personal level because I'm a recipient of counselling and I've had telephone meetings every single week, you know, which I've been incredibly fortunate. Not quite the same as going in and speaking to the individual. Things like day centres, groups, recovery-based meetings, meeting family, friends. You know, there's dangers. People that haven't got a large network of friends or family around them that are out isolating from day to day, become people suffer with anxiety, depression. If they feel ostracized and, you know, already feel sort of, you know, on the fringes of society, if you will, it's obviously going to compound that, you know, longer times, periods of isolation, being amongst themselves, you know, and more and more time. And of course, that has a knock-on effect on people's mental health. You know, obviously a huge amount of people that have got complex needs will struggle, you know, to spend prolonged periods of time by themselves.
I think that's a big one, because not many people like their own company, and that's when you find out a lot about yourself. It's been good for me because, you know, it shows where I'm at in my life, where that I'm comfortable in my own skin. But there's many people out there who are vulnerable, that they would find it hard because they're finding things out what they don't really want to know about themselves, and that can be really uncomfortable for them, and that can cause them to relapse, or the anxiety would be rocketing. So yeah, they are very vulnerable at this moment in time, definitely. I think that's another one, difficult one, because drugs can be, you know, it's got a social aspect, meeting friends. So that's when I think a lot of recovering addicts, you know, they go to AA meetings, NA meetings, and it's more the social aspect which they need to be around, which is really, really important for their recovery, you know, to meet different people from different backgrounds, because everybody's background is totally different. Taking that out of place for them, it's a nightmare for them. It really is.
If you've got a condition that is aided by accessing groups and support networks of people and stuff like that, and you're not able to do it, clearly that's going to, you know, have a derogatory effect.
The risks service providers have needed to mitigate, especially for people who's already living in supported housing or hostels, etc., was, and I know from a few people from personal experience, they wasn't allowed to connect with their worker, who they would normally see at least once a week. I know they had telephone consultations, but they couldn't have the face-to-face. It's much better than nothing, but a worker wouldn't be able to read a person's body language, because they say, how are you doing? The obvious answer is, oh, I'm okay. On a face-to-face basis, you might see evidence of self-harming or evidence of addiction reoccurring or things like that, which wouldn't be evident over a telephone conversation.
We've been in recovery houses over the last 12 months. You know, you can pick up the body language, that if there's something not right, you know, so on the telephone, you probably might be able to hear that in the voice, where there might be a little bit flat in the voice, and, you know, but they can tell you whatever they want over the telephone. So it's really important to have that face-to-face contact, and you can pick up on the body language, really. I think the way forward at this moment in time is using either FaceTime or, you know, Zoom. I know a lot of people don't like being on video, but we've got to learn to accept that, and that's the way forward, and that's where it needs to go, because, you know, you be able to observe that person's looking. I think it's important to go that direction. I think it's the risk of relapse. That's a massive one, because they're not having that connection what they were having before the shutdown.
Listening to the experts by experience, it sounds like the lack of face-to-face contact is their biggest concern for the vulnerable people they support. But there are some positives too. Jason.
It's quite remarkable how resilient some people are in a pinch, really. There is a lot of people in situations trying to keep sort of, you know, as positive as possible, which is difficult under the certain circumstances in the current climate. And understanding, I think, as well, everyone's aware, you know, pretty much by and large, that this is unprecedented, what we're going through, you know, and understanding that services are endeavouring to do their best
With telephones, with myself, I struggle. I've got a lot of positives has come out of it because I've got a lot better over the phone. But I like to have face-to-face contact with friends or acquaintances just to see how they react, you know, when you have face-to-face contact, you know, so that's quite important. You do have that. But it's learning, again, to adapt to using that telephone. So it has been challenging for me in a way, you know, because I struggle.
People with the multiple and complex needs, especially the rough sleepers, or prefer to be them to be termed as homeless, because rough sleepers sounds like a choice decision. That is totally wrong, so I call them homeless, not rough sleepers. In a funny kind of way, people in that situation with multiple and complex needs, this has kind of helped them, because the government has actually put money forward to get them off the streets. So a lot have been put up in hotels, various other accommodations, proving the government can do it if they want to. With a roof over their heads, the workers have been allowed into the hotels to connect with them, which has been a real good thing. I think the vast majority of people with multiple and complex needs have been in relatively safe places during this pandemic.
Thank you to Jason, Shay and Dan for their contributions to this episode on how the COVID-19 global pandemic has affected those living with multiple and complex needs. And thank you for listening to Changing Futures, the podcast aimed at improving outcomes for Birmingham's most vulnerable people. Stay safe.